Well, you know, you in the hands of the Lord make a gathering like this come alive. Because to maybe a visitor, maybe somebody else going through a hard time, when they hear the words of life that you speak, that causes a person's faith to be released that, wow, if God did it for them, why wouldn't he do it for me? And if we never had a testimony time and we just came in like little clones and, you know, sat and did our thing and went home, so much we'd miss. The words that you speak are precious, and I am so honored and privileged to have a whole room full of preachers and teachers and encouragers and blessers, because I really see that larger, this is what God is when we is that, well, I'm just peace. You have something to bring, and all of us together make it complete. And that's, well, thank you. There's the wind of the Spirit. See? Yes. He said, yeah, let me in, dude. Oh, he's here. And this is precious. Yes, a rushing mighty wind. Oh, boy, we talked about him a lot last Sunday. Our opening scripture this morning, I always remember most of the time when I do this, it's a Reader's Digest condensed version. And I always leave you lots of opportunity to take these scriptures and study them more for yourselves as well, so that you can take full advantage of God's word as a tool. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God or Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And in the context of this, Paul was writing this letter to the Galatian people, who many of them were Jewish and they got saved. But little by little, different ones began entering the fellowship and began to tell them, well, you're not really saved unless you get circumcised. You're not really saved unless you go back to the dietary laws of the old covenant. And there were always those who were trying to pull them back into bondage. So the context of bondage has to do with Paul's admonishment to them about, don't go back under the law. The law worked a curse. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And he went on to make the case, if you read the rest of the chapter, of did you get saved by the keeping of the law, or did you get saved by the hearing of faith? And stand fast is a really good phrase for us to get a hold of, because I get word pictures a lot. They're kind of like a parable. But I could just imagine you pouring a big concrete slab, and maybe it's 8 inches thick or something, and you're out there with your big high rubber boots on, and you're smoothing all the cement out there, and then you decide to, wow, this looks absolutely beautiful. I think I'm just going to stand here and see the beauty of the nice job I just did. And about 3 hours later, you try to walk away, and you're up to your shins and set up concrete. That's standing fast. And there's another word that's similar to that the scriptures use. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. When concrete sets up, you're not going to be able to freely step out of that. And so to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. We are not under the legal part of the old covenant or the law. The spiritual principles will always apply, but it's not the law that saved us. And in today's, there are those about us who say, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're not saved. If you don't go to church on Saturday, you're not saved. And they always seem to go back to this principle that Paul warned about hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And people don't like it when they see us so free. It bothers them. And sometimes they try to put a yoke back around our neck. We are free. We are really free. The law could never make anyone righteous. And people that pick one commandment, their favorite one, to try to put you back in bondage, also need to remember that there's another 632 of them if they want to play that game. But they'll only pick the one. You see, the law was a way that God could reveal his righteousness, his standard for righteousness. If you keep all these 633 commandments, I will declare you to be righteous. And only one could do that, and that was Christ. So the whole matter comes down to the Gentiles became righteous. The Jews got jealous with envy and hatred and bitterness because they labored under the law to attain what God said was a state of righteousness. And the Gentiles, all they had to do was believe in Jesus, and God declared them righteous. And they were free from the bondage. The law worked a curse. You could never be saved under the law. And you still can't. And we think sometimes, well, if I just do this, maybe God will be pleased with that. Maybe God will bless me. Maybe God will show me favor if I just simply do this over here or work this over there. No, you already have his favor. You already have his blessing. He's already declared you to be righteous. He's declared you to be holy. He said you're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Quit trying to iron your wrinkles. I don't have any. And I'll be 68 in a few weeks. And I think that's totally awesome. But I don't have to work at being saved. I just enjoy the fact that I am. And God wants us to enjoy our lives as believers. It ought not to be a bowed over, back-breaking toil, trouble, burdensome. You know, one of these days when I cross the river, oh boy, I'll be so joyful. You know, and make such a heavy, you know, Jesus did that already for us. In 31 years, I've never once looked back and felt sad about the messes he dragged me out of. And the last thing I'm going to do is to go back to him. Because I enjoy being free for the first time in my life. I know what it means to be free. And he said, stand fast in that freedom. That doesn't mean that we just go around and do whatever we want to do and things that we know are wrong to do. But we're free to follow God. We're free to listen to the Holy Spirit, not only individually, but as a body of believers. Free to do what God has called us to do. There's nothing holding us back but us. And he said, be not entangled again. Wow, and I came in this morning, I had my little remote mic, all the cord all coiled up nice and took the batteries out of it so it'd be nice and fresh today. And Jamie and I were talking before the service, and I went over there and there were three knots in that cord. And I said, I didn't tie those knots in that thing last week when I took it up. How did those knots get in there? Life is like that. We get entangled, knots coming, and it's like we got to untangle those things and really protect our lives from getting entangled again in something that's knotted up or snarled or entangled. And it's the same thing of going back to something that Jesus set us free from. We don't have to do that. And we're free people. We're free to walk in that joy. Free to walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. We are free people. And the word of the Lord is to encourage us don't go back, not even a little at a time, because it never happens suddenly. It's a little thing here, a little thing there, and suddenly we find one day, wow, how did I ever get back here? I never thought I'd do that. Well, you know what? We have an awesome opportunity today to just take this word and break shackles off. If you feel like you've been pushed down or squashed or somebody else has put yokes around your neck, break free from those things today. This is a wonderful day to just break free and enjoy your freedom in Christ. It's a great day, and I know it's going to be a good day, as Mr. Rogers took his sweater off today. Anybody need lifting up today? I do. Every day. Callie, did you want to go to Sunday school with me? Okay. See you in a few. Would you please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10? Philippians 3:10. It's interesting how Paul gave his list of credentials as to how great he was in his own eyes. Astute, a wonderful student, very gifted and very knowledgeable, having been brought up under the law. He was a Pharisee and a Sadducee. They don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. They have no hope. But Paul gave all of his credentials as to why he should be accounted worthy, one who should be respected and highly favored among men. But then he got saved. Woe is him now. The things that suddenly he came to realize, that all of that education, all of that theological seminary training, all of the diplomas and certificates, and all of that, he said he counted them but dung, but to know Christ and him crucified. And I think of perhaps a room full of achievements among all of us. The wonderful things that we attained to or arrived at or maybe had businesses or just all the things that we deemed so important that we put them high up here and they almost became an idol, and maybe to some they were. And yet you get down to verse 9, because I don't like to just pull one scripture out. I like to either take the one before and after so that you get a text of what he's writing about. In verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness is probably the highest standard of integrity and rightness with God that anyone could ever attain. And Paul had previously made the case that he had arrived at that under the law. And yet, God said about man's righteousness is that they're as filthy rags. And all that he strove for, all that he tried to accomplish in his life and attained. But then he realized that suddenly, what did all of that mean? What value was that to me anymore? because there's one thing that's far greater than that. And that's from the mindset that he's writing to the church, the Philippian believers. The righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, sometimes, well, actually, as believers, I call living by faith living on the edge. Because it really is, in a sense, we're living on the edge of a miracle every minute of every day. And we don't see God in the natural. And we were talking about this Bible study Wednesday night. How is it that we love him and yet we've never seen him face to face? We never walked with him when he was here in the natural. And yet there's something about the love that we have for him, because we believe what's written. God's word reveals his integrity. It reveals his character. It reveals his heart. If we never read the word from God's perspective, we will never know the wonderful heart that he has for each one of us. Every word that he spoke and was written reveals the Father's heart even more. He wrote to us and gave us his love letters, the word of God. And but Paul comes down in verse 10, and you know, here's a guy that is of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't boast, he doesn't take any credit for what he wrote. You very seldom see him write like that. But he said, that I may know him. If you just stop there, that I may know him. And you think about all that's involved in knowing someone. How do you get to know someone? Spending time. Communication, back and forth. Sometimes, if we're not mindful, we'll spend so much time telling God all our stuff, we never listen long enough to get a response back. But he speaks to us all the time by his Spirit. We are a spirit. We live in an earth suit. And he communicates to us from his Spirit to our spirit. And sometimes it has to be real quiet around us to hear from him. He doesn't always speak in the storm. He doesn't always speak in a thunderous, booming voice. It can be the tiniest little thing. Like the night you got saved, Peggy. Faith said, I think we need to go see Peggy. And all of you bore witness of Peggy's testimony that we're here. Something is simple, but yet can be life-changing. Learning to know his voice. Knowing him. Knowing that he is for us and not against us. Knowing that he's altogether lovely. Knowing that he's Abba Daddy. We don't want to make the mistake of knowing him in a fatherly sense and try to relate it to an earthly father. There's no comparison. As good as we dads think we are and successful at raising our children, no one can measure up to our Daddy God. But to know him who saved us, who gave his life for us out of his love, knowing that you're one of his pearls of great price, knowing that everything he had in his kingdom, he freely made it known to you by his Spirit. He freely gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It comes from knowing him. And Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh my, we talked about the power last week and things got rather powerfully out of hand for a while. But if you think about your life and all the things that you find that are difficult to do, and perhaps even seem impossible. You try everything you know to do, and did I show up in the wrong place today? Huh? There's this thing about the power of his resurrection. And I took you last week to Matthew chapter 27 with a closing scripture about when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The Bible says that many of the saints who died and were buried in their graves came out of those graves and were out testifying in the streets of Jerusalem. That's power. And can you just even imagine that? People that you knew, suddenly they're up walking around and saying, "Boy, what a rush that was." You know, and we kind of laughed, you know, because, wow, there's Uncle Charlie over there. How's it been? How is it now? Well, I don't feel a thing. This is awesome. Oh, you know, but just the power that has been made available to us to live our walk of faith. And how it makes the walk so much better. Things that we wouldn't tolerate 5 seconds or 5 minutes. The things we used to not like, now we like. And the things that we liked and followed after, now they're not so appealing anymore. The people that used to irk us and get under our skin and we wanted to lovingly bless them with a brick. Now, the power to resist those temptations, the power to resist getting into a mindset of thinking, what awful things are going to happen today. I used to have an attitude like that before I got saved. You know, smoke a joint and everything will be groovy. But, you know, and wake up and think, what kind of crap's going to happen today? And I know for you that have only known me since I'm a believer, you may find that hard to believe, that Faith and I were in that kind of a funk in our lives before we knew Christ. And I'm not ashamed of that. That was then. This is now. We're a living testimonies. We're a living letter to you of the power of his resurrection in our lives. And if we haven't experienced it, we could never testify of it. But to testify of it gives people hope. Because people can think that it's always been that way, it'll probably never change. Well, as long as you keep saying it, it won't. Now I wake up with a new day, a Tigger smile, drives Faith up the wall sometimes. Somebody punched me in the face once. They said, "I can't stand that grin so early in the morning." Boom! That was the first time I ever got hit as a Christian. And I kept going back, and finally the sucker gave up and got saved. Persistence. The power. See, we're walking power factories. We're dynamos for Jesus. And there's... Now I wake up every day and say, wow, I wonder what neat stuff's going to... what God's going to do today. I go to the post office and I say, wow, I wonder if I'll get a letter or a blessing from somebody today. Or I wonder what phone calls I'll get today. And I just live this whole bubble world. I'm bubble boy. Ask anybody that's ever gone on a mission trip with me. I'm bubble boy. In the spirit, I like to just be in that place where I know that I'm totally encompassed and surrounded by his presence all the time. The only time the enemy takes a whack at me is when I'm sleeping. Because he knows if I'm awake, he ain't getting squat. And that's because I probably took my armor off. It clanked when I turned over. So, you know, I learned not to do that anymore. It fits just fine when I'm asleep. But the power that's been made available to each one of us to live a life that you can deal with things you never could before. We used to say, we just put up with it. Not anymore. I don't put up with anything. I get victory over it through Christ. Like Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, who now sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Every one of us needs to come to that place where we see beyond the cross. We see the joy beyond the mess we might be in today. No storm ever lasts forever. And even in Psalm 23, yea, though I pass through the shadow of death. Did you know that there can't be a shadow except there also be a source of light? So even in the midst of a storm or something's going on in your life and it seems like it's a nowhere place, there's a somewhere place, and it's in Christ. And there's great joy in that. Joy is knowing these things, and Paul said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. There's a power available for every one of us to live an overcoming, victorious life. And I know it takes learning that. It takes receiving that by faith. But when the Word of God calls us overcomers and more than conquerors, I love the story that Ernie Shavers, he's the only one that ever knocked Muhammad Ali down for a count, and he had all of his videos to prove it, and he came here, and he ministered here quite a while ago, and he stayed across the street where Faith's mom used to live, the place where we got married, the little house right across over there. And he gave us an example of what it means to be more than a conqueror. And I know I've at least said this at least once or twice, but it's so appropriate when we talk about verses of Scripture like this. He'd get in the ring and get himself all pounded up. Once in a while, he'd get a lick or two in, thinking he was doing pretty good. But he never won the championship belt in boxing. But he knocked down the man who held the title. But he got bloodied up and beat up. When the match was over, he got the prearranged salary for the fight, and he took it home and gave the check to his wife. And she said she was more than a conqueror. Ernie got in the ring, took the pounding, and got the blood and the snot pounded out of him, got his check and took it home and gave it to his wife, and she got the money while her husband took the beating. Now that's a parable. Jesus went to the cross, took the beating for you and I, and you and I have the inheritance. That's rich. That's powerful. That's being more than an overcomer. You see, being an overcomer is just winning every once in a while, but more than an overcomer, that means it becomes a way of life that you get the victory more and more often as you keep walking it out, as you keep living it out. You gain more and more victories in your life. Things that maybe you haven't arrived at yet. Even Paul said, I haven't arrived anywhere yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward, pressing on to the mark of the high calling in Christ, which he says in just a few more verses down. He's never looking at, I used to be a Christian beater. I used to have him arrested and thrown in jail. I was holding Stephen's coat when they put the stones to him and murdered him. He came to that place in his life where he turned his back on all of that. And he was no more going to be a man who let his past control his future. You see, it takes the power of the Spirit to do that in your life. Why? Because our minds are always wanting to go back to the way it was, or something we did, something we felt guilty about, something that people never forget. And they'll always use it against us in their anger. But for Paul to come to that place where he could forget that, forget it to the extent that it was no longer going to dictate the rest of his life. And that's a place where God wants us to come, to that place where we depend on the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we don't have to stay locked up in the past, locked up in unforgiveness, locked up in hurts, locked up in sorrows and sadnesses and all the pity parties that go with it, and preventing us from going forth and fulfilling the call of God on our lives. That's just a snippet. That's a glimpse. This little word is just a glimpse of all that God has made available to us. Because you see, not only that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Not everybody liked Jesus. Not everybody likes us. And sometimes our suffering isn't the cross in the sense of what Jesus experienced, but our suffering may be and a loss of friendship, a loss of fellowship with people that we used to hang around with. And in my case, when I got saved and all my drug friends knew it, there was no problem parting company. They fled like a rat off a sinking ship. Boom, they were gone. When there weren't no more bag of dope, no more coke, no more party, they didn't come around our house anymore. So we had to go after them. We had something new. We offered them life. And to this day, there are still a few. Some of them are a little afraid of us now. I don't know why. I'm not going to hurt anybody. But to be able to do that, to go back to one of your drug dealers, and he's sitting there with a room full of people doing coke, drinking whiskey, getting crazy playing cards, and sitting there with a loaded gun on the table, and you go into the house and start talking about Jesus. Stop that bullet. Oh, I could just testify all day of so many times, so many incidents where it really takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Solano goes to the Philippines and does so many surgeries, and where does that strength come from? Where does that endurance come from? His help comes from the Lord. He's testified of that. I'm not blowing all of his secrets. Okay? He knows that. He knows the power. He knows the strength. He knows the ability to endure hardships. Life isn't always a piece of cake. Sometimes you get a brownie along the way. Ah, that's good. This is so good. This is so rich. And it's so wonderful to remind ourselves of this from time to time. Being made conformable unto his death. When I think of that, I think of all the times I've had to die to myself. I've had to die to thoughts that would have taken me astray if I hadn't have learned to take authority over my thoughts and imaginations. An imagination is a thought with a picture. And to cast them down, to bring them into captivity to Christ. There are times, for just a split second, I must entertain the thought of getting revenge on somebody. But it used to be longer than a second. Now it's way shorter than that, and most of the time it's non-existent. Because I'm dying to those things. See, being a Christian is dying to ourselves daily. And Paul wrote about that, dying daily to ourselves. The things that we want to do, the things that we would like to do, instead of the things that God wants us to do. See, it takes the power of the Spirit in us to even motivate us to think like that. And the renewing of our minds to the Word, hearing His voice, depending on His strength, to do supernatural things for the kingdom. And you can do it. You can do it. God already says that he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not just Monday when we've came in here and got all spiritually cranked up and we're doing good and we zip out the door ready to conquer the world, and Tuesday comes and no, it doesn't have to be that way. He always causes you to triumph. That's really important. Always means all the time. That means we never lose. Did you ever think of yourself as never losing? Maybe not till today? No, we were born to lose, but we were born again to win. And you know what? You're seated in heavenly places with Christ, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of this wicked and evil and unsaved world. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. But once again, we live by faith. If God said it, it's got to be true, and that's the end of the matter. And actually, even if I don't believe it, it's still settled because God said it. So today, just think about all that you saw and experienced today, how the Spirit touched our hearts. And think about why you came, to know Him more, to know Him better. Besides, it's a good place to hang out. We just love Jesus, don't we? And when we pray for each other, there's the power of the Spirit that's released. Last week, I know that some of you didn't have the opportunity. We, at the end of the service, it was really part two of the Easter service, and I talked about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within each of us. And we talked about being renewed, being refreshed, being revived, if you will, by the Spirit. And that overflow is still continuing through today. So that invitation is open for you today, too. We don't just pray for family issues. Everybody has those. But if there's something from the Lord that you want, a touch, a lift, a boost, a word of encouragement, or building the Spirit by His Spirit, those are important because those things you can take with you, they work wherever you are in every situation. So if you want prayer for anything, come on up. This always takes a step of faith to cross that line of chairs right there.